Welcome to City Hope London's Sermon Podcast. To find out more about us, visit www.cityhope.london.
A really big welcome to everybody. Good to see you all. And a very warm welcome to everybody who's with us here for the first time. Being a Christian isn't about following a belief system or a code of behavior. It's about a relationship. We've just been hearing about relationships. You see, God invented relationship. Before, there was... Isn't that amazing? God invented relationship. He didn't invent trees. He invented relationships. That's a remarkable thought. And this relationship with God is not one that comes and goes. It's an eternal covenant relationship. And in John 17, verse 3, Jesus says this: "Now this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." It's about knowing. It's about a relationship. And one critical aspect of any growing relationship, as we've just heard, is communication. Conversation, the exchange of words, of thoughts, of feelings. It's about speaking. It's about listening. It's about responding. And our focus today is about our relationship with God and about being attentive to the words of Jesus. So to help us get started, you will sometimes hear Christians say something like, "God spoke to me," or "I felt the Lord say," or "Jesus told me to do X, Y, Z." What on earth is going on there? So I just want to find that out by doing a quick survey. So, put your hand up if you've ever heard the audible voice of God, just like I'm speaking to you now. If I've seen one hand over there. That is about 10 people. I haven't, and that's amazing. So, put your hands up again so somebody will be able to... Wow, that is quite remarkable. Mine's down, by the way. Raise your hand if you've had a very strong conviction that God has spoken to you, but you've not heard the audible voice of God. A lot more. Much, much more common. Thirdly, put your hand up if you felt that God has spoken to you, communicated with you, either when you've read the Bible or when somebody was preaching from the Bible. Again, an awful lot of people. And a final question, and this is really important. Raise your hand if it's made a significant difference to your life when God has spoken to you, whatever the method. On that note, we need to pray and ask God to speak to us. Today is Palm Sunday. In a minute, I'm going to read Mark chapter 11. But as just to inform us as we pray, I'm going to ask three questions today. What is Palm Sunday all about? What can we make, number two, what can we make of a very strange, what can we make of Jesus's strange instructions to two unnamed disciples? And number three, what is God saying to you today? I'll go through those three questions. What's Palm Sunday all about? What can we make of Jesus' strange instructions to two unnamed disciples? And what is God saying to you today? Let's pray. Let's just open our hearts and our minds to him. Lord, as we open up your word, we pray that you would speak to us. We thank you, Lord, just as we saw many hands go up, you speak. And we pray, speak, Lord. We want to hear, we want to be attentive to your words in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, I think I think, Sarah, you're going to have to do the honours for me if we get rid of the donkey and go to number one. Mark 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples. We don't know their names. Saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt. That's a young donkey, a wee little donkey. You will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell them, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna! Which means save now. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Slightly different up there. So, what's Palm Sunday all about? Jesus gets first century red carpet treatment when he enters Jerusalem on a donkey. End of story. Nope. There's much more to it than that. Let's put it into context. Where does this story called Palm Sunday fit in with the big picture? The Bible gives us the full story of the human race and the cosmos. And it's bookended with Genesis and Revelation. And God is there at the beginning and God is there at the end. I love that song that Rachel sang earlier from Revelation 5. Isn't that amazing? And God is there at the beginning, God is there at the end. And this book is a remarkable library, not of one book, but of 66 books written by 40 authors over a period of 1,400 years. No other book's been written like that. Can you imagine writing a book over 1,400 years? I wrote a book with two other guys. It was a nightmare. 40 authors. And for the three of us to try and get a common theme, very difficult. But there's a common theme all the way through this. But it's much more than that. It's a book that's actually two covenants, two agreements, two testaments. And the first covenant, the Old Covenant, or the Old Testament, is God's revelation of himself to the people of Israel. God says, I will be your God and you will be my people. And as we go through the 39 books of the Old Testament, three things are happening all the way through that big slug of the Bible. Three things. Number one, God is revealing himself, unveiling himself more and more about who he is. We learn of God's awesome creative power and his holiness. And again, Rachel almost referred to that about his greatness and his awesomeness. But there's also a repeating theme through the Old Testament. And it says this, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Has anybody here been made by God? But you can put your hands up on that. He has compassion towards you. That's what it says in the Old Testament in Psalm 145:8-9. That's the first thing. God is unveiling himself. What's happening? Number two, what else is happening in this old covenant? All the key characters in this Old Testament royally mess up. Even the good ones, such as Abraham, Moses, David, do some dreadful and despicable things. You see, the Bible doesn't just reveal God, it reveals human beings for who we are. We can read the Bible, but actually, you know what? The Bible reads us. When I read the Bible reads me. And then the third point. In this human predicament, this mess, there is a promise that God will send a Messiah, a Savior, a King. And about 700 years before Jesus turns up, Isaiah wrote this in chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty, Mighty God, Everlasting, Everlasting Father, Prince, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. 700 years before Jesus came. And those predictions and prophecies, there are many in the Old Testament. And then we move on to the second covenant, the second agreement, where Jesus enters the scene. And we come to the New Testament. And we got four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who provide four eyewitness accounts. They saw what was happening of the life of Jesus. These aren't true biographies, because a true biography almost tells the whole story. They don't. They focus on 3 years of this man's life. 3 years, age 30 to 33. But they become even more focused. One third of what they write is just about 8 days. One third of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is just about 8 days, 1 week. And it's the last week of the life of Jesus. Why? Because the events of that week were the most important in all of human history. The theologian Karl Barth describes the death and resurrection of Jesus like the most massive boulder crashing into the pool of human history. Wow. What's the deal? Why is all this needed? What's it all about? Well, firstly, there is the bad news. There is the big problem. Our sin has both immediate and eternal consequences. We're cut off from this relationship with God, and he created relationship. We're cut off from a relationship with God, and we can't right the wrongs. And most of happen on social media, self-help books. We're trying to right the wrongs. We can't right the wrongs. The Bible tells us, I can't right the wrongs. I can't pay for it. But the good news, the gospel, that's what gospel means, good news. God became man, was sacrificed on a cross to pay the penalty for our sin, and was raised to life. Jesus righted the wrongs. So, what's Palm Sunday about? Palm Sunday is the doorway into that week. Palm Sunday is the arch, the gateway into the final week of the life of Jesus. The countdown to the most momentous events in human history were starting. And Palm Sunday is pointing to the cross and to the empty tomb. Last week, Jackie and I went to Nuremberg. And in the 1930s, Adolf Hitler created the most massive site where he held rallies for over 1 million people during the 1930s. Every summer, people would gather there. And we were stunned by it. Just one little building we went into was twice the size of the Colosseum. And that's just a tiny bit. And he became and paraded himself at the center of the world's attention. And yes, people were in awe of Adolf Hitler, but it was driven by hate and fear. And we see similar things happening today. Just turn on your television. You'll see certain leaders parading through and everybody in awe of them, but in fear of them. Roman emperors in the time of Jesus would do the same thing. They come in on their stallion and everybody would parade. But you know what? Jesus chose a donkey, a colt, to make his entrance. He wouldn't be asking others to lay down their lives. He first laid down his life for us. What a savior. How different King Jesus is. Hosanna. You see, the key question in life, often we, and I'm in management consulting, and one of the key questions I ask is, why? And the second question is, why? And the third question is, why? And the fourth question is, why? And the fifth question is, why? But you know what? That's not the right way. The most important question is, who? Often we want to know, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? What's the purpose of my life? But the most important question is who? Who are you listening to? Who are you attentive to? Who are you following? And Jesus, and it's paramount that Jesus is the center of our attention and not just one of many voices. Don't let Jesus just be one of a myriad voices. Let his voice be paramount, be supreme. Let's be wholly attentive to him and do what he asks. That's what Palm Sunday is about. The gateway to that final week. Second question. So the first question was, what's Palm Sunday all about? The second question is, what can we make of Jesus' strange instructions to these two unnamed disciples? Well, first and foremost, we need to understand a little bit about Mark, who wrote Mark's gospel. You see, Mark wrote his gospel in 1.5 time. You know, quick, speed it up. Everything was quick. He preferred headlines rather than detail. And I'm a bit like that at times. We already know that he was going to allocate a third of his gospel, of his book, to the last week of the life of Jesus. So here's the question. Why on earth did he spend 7 verses to go into such detail about collecting a donkey? You know, we read that story. It's all about collecting a donkey. It's not gripping reading, is it? It's like somebody giving us a recipe for a cake, then telling us about the procedure step by step twice over. Why on earth, for this guy who is just want the headlines, he goes into such detail? It seems a bit mind-numbing. And also, who were these two unnamed disciples? Why couldn't Mark be bothered to tell us who they were if he went into so much detail about the donkey? You feel for them, don't you? I mean, you don't get many lines in the story. Here's their big moment, and they don't even get a mention in the credits. Well, do you want to know the real answer to both those questions? Do you? I don't hear you. Do you? Well, I haven't a clue. I don't know. I have no idea why that was the case. And you can talk about it over dinner and let me know what you think. But what does interest me, though, is this. They got the donkey. They got the donkey. They did just what Jesus said. They were attentive. And there was detail. And they did what Jesus said. They got the donkey. Are you a bit too interested in the credits? Well, I'm only going to do it if I get a bit of credit, a bit of recognition. I want a title. Just get the donkey. And as disciples, as Chris has just said, just get the donkey. Thank you, Chris. Oh, well, almost you said that. You could have done. City Hope, let's follow the example of these two unnamed disciples. And as fellow disciples, be attentive to the words of Jesus. Let's not be blasé about it. Let's do what he asks. Number three, question three. What can you hear from God today? Or what do you hear from God today? So from our survey earlier, we can agree that one of the clearest ways that God speaks to us is through his word, the Bible. I love our connect group. We've got the best connect group in the world. Yes, you don't know. We have the best connect group. Charlie, do we have the best connect group in the world? Yeah, thank you. Tani, do we have the best? Okay. And it's led by my wife. It's brilliant. And every week we read the Bible. And what I love about it is we read the Bible and I get to hear what other people think of what God's saying to them. And it's just so left field. I hadn't thought of it like that. And applying it to their lives. And I'm inspired and learn so much from hearing what other people are going to say. So we now are going to do the big connect group together right now. And in a minute, I'm going to ask Alan, this is your big moment. You need to come down here. I'm going to ask Alan, who's just a little, my older brother, but not as old as John Wood back there, I hasten to say. Yeah, you don't know what he said earlier. You do not know what he said earlier. Yeah, Tanny, he was telling you porky pies. So I'm going to ask Alan to come and read the passage again to us. And we are going to be attentive. We're going to read it again. And I'm going to ask you two questions. What is it telling me about God? What am I learning about God? What am I learning about Jesus? And how am I going to respond to God's words? This is very personal. This isn't general. This is not a time for a sermon. We've just had that. It's gone. This is about what's God saying to you personally. And we can't hear from everyone, but definitely want to hear from quite a lot of folk around the audience. Alan, the best reader in the world, Alan Chadbourne, Mark 11, 1 to 10.
As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, with which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt in the street tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'Why are you doing? What are you doing untying that colt?' They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'"
Thank you, Alan. So, what I'd like us to do is, and nobody's going to be press ganged, so don't, you know, relax, don't need to worry. I'm just looking for volunteers. And I don't just want nice thoughts, but I want you to say, this is what God's said about God said to me. So the first question is, what does it say about God or Jesus in one sentence? And then I'd like you to pray it in a sentence as well, a prayer of praise and thanks. So I'm going to come around with a mic. If you're upstairs and you'd like to contribute, I'd love to hear from you. So just come down here so I can come to you. I'm going to go around with the mic. So the first question is, what does it say about God? What's it said to you about who God is in one sentence? And I'd like you to praise him and in prayer for one sentence. Who's going to kick off for us? Quick, let's go. We're going to be very quick. Jackie, thank you. Never been primed. Here we go.
God has a wonderful plan for us and he wants me involved in it. So thank you, Lord God, that you have got a plan and that you include me in it. Amen.
Amen.
That his ways may not make sense to me, but they're good. And so, Father, I just thank you that you are sovereign and you know so much more and have good plans for us.
Thank you. Les.
Jesus knows what's just ahead of us. So we thank you, Lord, that you know our future, even just a few minutes or a few days or months around, and we can trust you for it and respond accordingly. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Grace.
Hi. Thank you. Oh, Lord, you told me in a very difficult time to take heart, and Lord, I treasure it. And it unfolds every day. And Lord, I just want to say it, just take heart. It's a promise that we all have in all situations. None are exclusive to this promise. Thank you, Lord, in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Grace, for coming this way. Thanks. Okay.
Jesus chose these two disciples to go and follow out his plan. And just like the two disciples who we don't even know who they are, with two disciples, Jesus chose them. Jesus chose us. We didn't choose him. Us. He chose us. We didn't choose him. He's chosen us to do his good work.
Thank you. One sentence, please, and then one prayer.
It just shows that by faith, these two disciples went and did because they heard what God said. So, Lord, I just pray that you open my ears and I hear and everybody here hears what you want for us to do and we go and do it.
Amen.
John, I've got one up here in the balcony.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful. Sorry, balcony time.
Jesus wanted them to get the colt, the donkey that had never been ridden. I just think, my goodness, what a risk. I don't know much about donkeys, but with horses, you have to train a horse to take a rider, otherwise they throw the rider off. So I just think, and I'll pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you take a risk on us. It doesn't matter whether we think we can do something or we don't think we can do something. You know what you have in store for us, and you have chosen us to do what you want us to do. And thank you that we should not discount ourselves because you love every one of us and have a plan for us. Amen.
Amen. We're still in the balcony. Valentina, buongiorno, come stai?
Buongiorno. I'd like to say God is not a man that he should lie. What he said he would do from the beginning of time, he has fulfilled, and this was one of his fulfillment. So I want to thank God for being so wonderful and for his word always coming past in our life.
Amen. Samuel.
Praise God. Despite all that Jesus has went through, he declared the day of his celebration. And I believe whatever we are going through, our days of celebration will come. Our Father, we thank you. We bless you, Lord God Almighty, for whatever we have been through or what we are going through right now. We know that days of our celebration will come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we're going to just finish with Margaret because we're then going to move on to communion in a second. And if the band could kindly just get back up, that would be great, Margaret. One sentence prayer.
God is the highest, the Hosanna. So I just want to thank God that he's blessed and he came to give us the blessing.
Amen. And amen. Thank you. Fabulous. We only did one of the questions and time has gone, but that's just great. Can I just, in closing, before I hand over to Rachel and the band, what did we learn this morning? What did we learn from this? At the beginning, I said that being a Christian is about our relationship with God. He created relationship. We're made for relationship with Him. We're designed for relationship with Him. You are made for relationship with God. Reading Scripture helps us to hear God's voice to us right now. We've just had a dozen people, as they've read Scriptures, Alan read it, and many others would have been able to respond. So can I ask you, do yourself a favor. Read some verses from Scripture each day. It doesn't have to be a lot. Keep it simple. Thank God for what He reveals about Himself. Pray in the things He's speaking to you about. Don't just read it. Pray it in. Grab it. Otherwise, it's gone. Grab it. Pray it in. City Hope, let's be a family that encourages us one another to be wholly attentive to the voice of Jesus and readily apply His words to our lives. That's go get the donkey discipleship. Over to the band.